Blog Talk Radio.
I have reinvented myself many times throughout my 63 years. Both personal and professional circumstances have caused me to take stock of where I am, who I am, and where I need to grow. Now I am taking my tips and strategies and turning them over to you over the next 3 radio sessions. I'll invite you to pick up a pen, paper, or digital device, examine where you are, and get ready to launch a reinvention in your life, both on and off your job. Go back and listen to the archive of Part 1 and 2 to establish a baseline for your reinvention. This session is geared for those who want to fully access resource materials as a process of growth and development for your reinvention. It will cause you to become a more natural researcher as you become an empowered mover and shaker in your home, on your job, in your community, and in our world. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hi, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. Now, I think there may be a fair amount of static on the line. I apologize in advance. That is beyond my control. That's a Blog Talk issue. Hopefully, it won't be that bad, and you'll be able to listen attentively and take the information and govern yourselves accordingly. We have spent the last couple of weeks just building up to ways and the specific opportunities for you to reinvent yourself. And I'm a big proponent of this because the world that we're living in now is clearly moving very fast. Things are happening very quickly. And if you're not careful, you can be a dinosaur. You can look like someone who isn't up on a lot of the issues and not a current relevant thinker. So here's my thought. My thought is through the reinvention process that we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks is to help you better you, to empower yourself in a way so that you don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. I'm not talking about throwing all of your traditions and your values and your morals away. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about developing a system and a way for you to refresh yourself, to recalibrate yourself so that you can be as productive as possible, regardless of how young or not so young you are. Now, right next to me is a fairly new printer, and every so often I have to buy a new inkjet printer because they don't last that long. So I noticed this one in particular, it's an Epson, and it does a pretty good job. All of them use a lot of ink, and that's where the money is really made, so you have to be very judicious in terms of how much ink you use. But I noticed about every hour or so, maybe every 45 minutes or so, when the machine is on and I leave it on, it recalibrates. In other words, it shakes up the ink, moving the bar back and forth so that when I print, the ink will distribute itself evenly and I'll be able to read things in a way that I'm used to. That's the recalibration process. I don't know what the technical stuff is on the inside, but I know that periodically it's got to shake up that ink so that the ink will redistribute itself in a reasonable way. Reinvention is just like that. We're asking you to shake yourself up, to recalibrate yourself so that you will be as productive as possible. And even if you are a retiree, I know a lot of my friends now are retiring. And even though you're retiring, you may be busier as a retiree than you were working a 9-to-5 job. So regardless of your status, reinvention is an opportunity for you to really sort of take stock of who you are, look at where you are and look at where you need to go. Now, we're doing this recording in April. It's springtime. Things are growing outside. My grass, unfortunately, needs to be cut because it's growing unevenly. So I need to have that taken care of. So this is a prime opportunity for you to really begin this recalibration process. Next week, we'll talk about healthy living. Technology will sort of bring that in the mix. And then the last week, we'll talk about celebrating yourself and the importance of really expanding your horizon. So we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. But for now, we're going to talk about materials, resources, books, articles, tapes, things that you can use in this whole reinvention process. So you can't take yourself, turn yourself inside out, move in a new step, new direction, without bringing in the resources that you need to do that appropriately. So that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time today, talking about building your resources both on and offline that will help you with the reinvention process. Now, one place I'd like for you to start, I'm going to give you a couple of resources, excuse me, and again, this radio recording will be at my blog, at my website, carolcopelandthomas.com. That's Carol with an E, carolcopelandthomas.com. You can go there and listen to this anytime under the blog section. On today's blog, this is April 13th, 2017, at the bottom of the copy, the commentary that talks about what the show is like, there is a link to another page on my website. And that particular page is called the Diversity Awareness Month page. Don't get distracted by this. I know we're talking about reinvention. But I have several links on that page. One of the links is a link that deals with websites, called websites or web sources that you can use. Click here. You can go to the blog section and click through, or you can go and find the diversity awareness page on the website itself, and the same information will be available to you. I have 4 pages of nothing but websites, and we're going to go through some of them. And these are websites that deal with all kinds of issues. They're news organizations, et cetera, regardless of your political persuasion. This is not about politics today, but this is where you can find information. Now, let me back up and say this. So, again, that particular button is there. You can link to that page, pull off the resource, and use it accordingly. And, again, I apologize if there's static on the line. I'm hearing static. I'm hoping you're not hearing static. So that's a Blog Talk issue today, not a Carol Copeland Thomas issue. When you are resourcing information online, it is very important, particularly if there are strong opinions, if there is statistical information, data that's being used, to make sure you are, A, going to credible sources, and, B, if you suspect that, not sure about this information, cross-check the information. That's the one thing about websites now is that there's so much online. You can find anything online, just about anything online. You want to make sure that the sources are credible and the information can be applied accordingly. So that's really, really important. If you are sharing numbers and data and statistics to people and you're giving them numbers and information, it may be a great idea to cross-reference it. So you go to one website, and let's say the information comes through that less than 30% of Americans own passports, and you're saying that's an interesting number. And you find that, let's say, on a blog commentary, somebody is writing about travel and tourism, which I love, and they quote that statistics. Now, if they don't reference the website or the information where they got it from, then you need to do a second check to make sure that the information is indeed accurate. Typically, government websites, U.S. government websites, and again, this series does tend to focus on a U.S. perspective. Typically, U.S. government websites are fairly accurate. So the best place to research about passports and U.S. passports is to go to the state website, the Secretary of State's website, and you can go to, I believe it's state.gov, U.S. Secretary of State.gov. Go to that website in their research area, do passports, and you can find the information out that way. So, again, you read a source, you get information from one place, and I'm also going to do right now passports percentage. I'm doing this live right now, U.S. So I'm doing a web search, and the question comes up, how many Americans have a passport? And a website is made available to me, and it's the expeditioner.com. And according to the most recent statistics as tabulated by the Secretary of State, Secretary's Department, it's about 46%. Okay, so the number has gone up. This number excludes passport cards, which are identification cards that only allow sea and overland entry into the U.S. and Canada, et cetera. So, again, I'm cross-checking my own number that I've just given you. Now, I can also go back and go to Passport Statistics, Travel State, U.S. Department of State, and they will give me much more information than I could ever imagine because they keep these numbers. So in 2016, 18,676,547 U.S. passports were issued. And I can drill down and find out even more information. So the point is this, is that you can take data, you can take numbers, and you can drill down to find out what is the right answer to your particular question. You know, what? How, and again, I'm just dealing with passports right now, and even on this Google page, there are articles in the Huffington Post written about it. There's other information. There's an article that says the Great American Passport Myth, why just 3.5% of us travel overseas. And this is an article that was written in 2012. And this one says, how come only 10% have passports? So again, it just depends on where you're getting your numbers. I think 46% is a bit high. I've heard like 29%. So again, that's just one particular topic, but how it can be cross-referenced online using different websites. The first site I went to seemed to be a blog. The site I went to was a government website, the Department of State, and now I'm looking at the Huffington Post, and they have a whole article on this. So, again, and these numbers obviously will change. So when you're doing research online, you want to make sure that you cross-reference your materials so that you're giving correct information. And I elaborated that point with the passport circumstances. Now, some people don't like to read books. I understand that. Some people, you know, had trouble in school and books were not their friend and brings back nightmares, et cetera. And you say, I don't like to read, especially long books over 250 pages. Well, what you can do is very simple, and it will cost you nothing. In the U.S., go to your local library, get a library card, and check out books on tape. They're called books on tape because now they're on CDs and MP3 files as well, but they're still called books on tape. Even though I love to read, and I have books everywhere, in my office, in my bedroom, everywhere, I still listen to a fair number of books on tape. It's expeditious. I have a chance to hear information differently because it's being read to me orally. And even though I have the book, and oftentimes I will do this, I will get the book and I will cross-reference it, and I will actually play the unabridged book on tape. Now, there are wonderful sources that you can go to, and you can sign up as a member and get a book every month on tape. And a tape, I'm saying tape, we don't use cassettes anymore, but these are CDs and they're also MP3 files. Same thing. It's amazing how many books in our vast libraries have been converted to becoming books on tape. And they're free, F-R-E-E, at the library. That's where I get most of my books on tape. So let's say you have a topic that you're doing a project on and you are pressed for time. You don't have a chance to read two or three books that are 200 or 300 pages, and this project is due next month. But perhaps while you are driving to and from your job, whether you are commuting by a commuter rail or bus or whatever, and I've done a tally of people, every other person has a smartphone and they have earbuds. So you can take that book on tape and you can play it through your smartphone, or you can download it as an MP3 file. So there are ways for you to educate yourself, to get the information that you need through this reinvention process, again, by accessing and using books on tape. It's a great way to really learn. And maybe there's some classics. I've read some of the classics as books on tape. Moby Dick, Anna Karenina, I've read a lot of books that are quite long, quite detailed, but because of the skill of the artist who is reading this book, and typically these books are read either by the author or they're read by actors, who are very, very good, you can learn an awful lot. And maybe there is something that you want to learn about skin care. And as a dermatologist who's read a book and you're reinventing yourself and learning more about skin care, get the book on tape so that you can read it. You can get the print version and cross-reference it and learn that way. That is a great way to build up your online resources and resources that are in print version as well. Now, there's a wonderful website called lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A, L-Y-N-D-A. It's an actual person. She's a graphic artist by training. Years ago, probably 25 years ago now, started this website with simple step-by-step video instructions. She started off first with how to build this HTML website. Well, now she has many, many topics. She has like 900 courses or 900 lessons on business. She has lessons on how to put on a good presentation. I just bought a new iPhone 7 Plus, and I'm now taking myself through the lessons on lynda.com on how to understand and use your new iPhone 7. The 7 Plus just has another camera, but it's basically the 7 iPhone. That's the number of it. And there's a course that I'm taking online on lynda.com that's teaching me more about my phone. So there are instructional videos, step-by-step videos, that are really well done. There's a transcript with it. They have a notes section, but you can basically listen and watch and learn a lot about many subjects, lots of software programs. Let's say you want to dig deeper and you want to do more with your budget, but you haven't quite mastered Excel. Well, there are classes on lynda.com teaching you about how to use Excel and how to create an Excel spreadsheet, how to use macros. All of those topics are covered under Excel. Lynda.com will allow you to use a couple of the segments. Let's say you have a 10-part module for how to use Excel spreadsheets. You'll be able to listen and watch maybe the first three segments. The other segments, you have to be a member, and membership is $25 a month, or you can pay at a lower rate if you pay it up front every year. I do it the $25 route. I started off several years ago, and yeah, I know I can save money by doing it up front annually, but this sort of works for my budget. So $25, and I have access to all of the classes available on lynda.com, and there are hundreds of classes. Now, I know that there are some people who are literally technology instructors who are getting a lot of their basic information and maybe advanced information through lynda.com and other sources like that. So I highly recommend it. I have subscribed as a member for a couple of years now, and it really serves me well. And again, the variety of topics can be helpful in your reinvention process. Now, let me go back. Information. It includes, again, four pages of news organizations and other organizations that are extremely helpful in understanding all the various topics that are taking place in world events and from different perspectives. Case in point, I have on page one CNN News, and I have just a brief description about what these news organizations are, but I have Fox News, I have BBC, and I have MSNBC. And then on page two, I have websites such as Politico.com. I have the Census Bureau, which is has nothing to do with politics, you know, indirectly it may, but it is data rich in terms of all of the statistical information, in terms of our cities and our counties around the country. You get them all at census.gov. And the coolest thing about census.gov is that it has a clock on the home page telling what the approximate population numbers are for the U.S. as of today, and it also projects the world population. So, again, I'm going to go right now. I'm going to take you live to census.gov. Let me put it in my screen. Census.gov. And on the home page, it has the stat of the day, which gives you some economic information. The stat, wood heating, the estimated number of occupied homes, home units across the country, primarily heated by wood in 2015, was 202.4 million, which is about 2% of all homes. So they give you a factoid. They give you other, lots of other information that you can pull. They have information, the Older Americans Month is in May. Census Bureau stats on pets can be accessed at this website. And this clock that I talked about is here. They removed the clock about a year ago, and I think people probably protested because we like the clock. So right now, there are approximately 324,860,000, give or take a few, people in the United States. And the world population is about 7.3%. So we're still just about 5% of the world's population. We are small population-wise compared to the other countries and other territories outside of the U.S. We are quite small compared to that. So that's a great website, and I would encourage you to spend some time there. And then there are political websites such as the Drudge Report. That's a conservative website that is quoted quite a bit on cable news shows. There's the Daily Coast. That's a progressive website quoted for the same reason. And again, it just depends. I have SlackUprising.com. That was a free movie, and hopefully it's still in effect. I haven't checked this in a bit, but hopefully it is. It was a Michael Moore film that was a free download about the youth vote and the 2004 presidential election. So that's some historical information for you. I have AlJazeera.com, which is a Middle East news organization, very important in that part of the world. And again, it'll give you a different perspective. And then on page four, I have Times of India, Indian news organization that covers local, national, international news. I have China Daily. It is an English language daily newspaper published in China. So that'll give you insight there. I have allafrica.com, which is a very comprehensive news website covering the continent of Africa from a global perspective, and then Conservative Review, which is conservative websites monitoring political candidates and their perspectives on conservative issues. So why am I giving you this information? Because I want you to be smart and learned, and I also want you to have enough information at your fingertips where you can cross-reference things, where you can have the facts that you need on whatever subject you're researching, that as you're reinventing yourself, you will do it in a very credible manner. That's the important thing. And I also want to share with you just the power of YouTube. That's YouTube.com. You've probably heard about it. It is by far now one of the top five websites in the world, literally in the world. You can do a ranking, go online and find out how these different websites are ranked. Facebook is very powerful. LinkedIn is also powerful. Twitter as well. But YouTube is very, very powerful. And again, the visual component in terms of learning is the way that people are learning nowadays and the way they're communicating. Just this Sunday, my granddaughter is 6 years old, and both of my granddaughters are here this week because their school system in Connecticut is on vacation for the week. It's spring break, and so they've been with Nyanya. That's the Swahili name for grandmother. And when I was getting my younger granddaughter ready for bed, she immediately went into character and took the tube of toothpaste and the little toothbrush. I had brush and toothpaste for both girls as a little gift, a welcome gift. And she went into an opening the package skit like she had seen countless times on YouTube. And I videotaped it. It was hilarious. Opening up the package and getting the little sheet, the protective sheet off the cap. And then at the end, she said, "Give me a thumbs up on my website. Thank you so much for listening and make sure you subscribe." It was like she was on YouTube because this generation, they watch YouTube a lot, an awful lot. Her older sister, who's 8 years old, almost 9 years old, and reads very well, has learned a lot. She's learned how to do some craft projects. She's learned artwork, and she loves to do artwork. She reads quite a bit. But she now has disciplined and taught herself how to go to YouTube, figure out how to do something, and then she figures out how to take that information and use it to her advantage. And her sister is learning the same way. So there are hundreds and thousands of how-to videos and other types of videos on YouTube. But I would, again, cautionary note, is to cross-reference the information. Just as I said at the beginning, make sure that your information is consistent and accurate by cross-referencing. So one three-minute video may share with you how to do something one way, and maybe there is a better, more efficient way of how to do the same task by looking at another video. So just like the internet in general, you have to cross-reference on YouTube. But YouTube is a mainstay. I know that there are other, there's Vimeo, there's some other sources, but YouTube is big. So hopefully this is giving you enough information and ammunition to get busy with building your resources. Books, articles, always great to go to. Newspapers, I haven't really talked about that, but again, the news, the online sources will give you much value with that. Newspapers are quite good, but a lot of us have migrated to online newspapers. I've done that. I don't read a local newspaper as I have done before, but I definitely get a lot of information online, but always cross-referencing. We're going to continue to talk about tech next week. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great Easter weekend and Passover as well. Take care. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas signing off.